Welcome to Peter's Podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. Hi. Nice to speak with you again. It's been kind of an interesting time. I have found myself needing to teach about a bunch, and we've taken a lot of things online. So I'm still doing classes and workshops, things like that, trainings. But personally, I haven't felt much like talking. I have little chats with Wendy, although she's pretty busy as well. And, you know, mostly I've been talking to people about their experiences with the life with coronavirus. But I haven't felt very much like, you know, gabbing and putting things out and stuff like that. So if you've been sort of wondering where I am, I'm sorry. Sorry about that part. But we are, you know, in kind of weird circumstances. Everyone is, you know, sort of stuck in their apartments and having to deal with having small amounts of space and not a lot of options. So maybe that's part of why I don't feel more outward. But at the same time, I have been thinking, you know, deeply about a bunch of things. And one of them that I thought I could share today is that, you know, in the midst of a crisis, it is natural to be dealing with one's anxieties and one's challenges and to be keeping up on the news and figuring out what's going on and what are we supposed to do about it and all of that kind of stuff. But also there's an opportunity to sort of get a little quiet and go a little deeper and maybe have a little bit of insight about what does it all mean? I don't mean, like, is this some kind of omen or something like that, or is it a prophecy or things like that? But what is it that we could learn when we're forced to stop everything that we're normally doing? And I started reading a book that's been on my shelf for a long time, and it's a little bit of a deep, deep plunge. I wouldn't recommend it as a, you know, casual read for even yoga teachers, but it's something that I've been pondering a lot, which is that sort of this nature of things in our mind and how our mind is so much a governor or a maybe even a creator of our experience. It's maybe a good way to say that. And, you know, the Yoga Sutras put it like, I always thought it was funny because the Yoga Sutras voice it first from the perspective of yoga. So they say yoga is when the activity or fluctuations in the mind stop. And they don't start with where most of us are, which is we're sitting here with a whole bunch of things fluctuating, a whole bunch of vibrations going on that create the universe, that create our experiencing, that create our identity, all of that stuff. And that's where we begin. And then there is this possibility when we get motivated to it of trying to experience what we are without all of that vibration. And all of the yoga texts, the more traditional ones that are older, talk about that as being reality, that part of you that you touch when you stop all the fluctuations of the mind. And you know, we've talked before about what does it mean actually to stop the fluctuations of the mind, so I won't go into that right now. But the idea that there is this thing, yoga, that is a practice that leads to a state of mind that the Yoga Sutras also call yoga, where the vibrations, the activities that are the mind, pause as our primary focus. And when we change our primary focus away from that, we see the nature of us. And some translations of the sutras even call it the seer, right? The seer perceives his, her own true nature. At other times then, the sutras bring up what the alternative is, what we're not most typically experiencing. At the other times, we become identified with our thoughts to the point where we think we are what we're thinking about. And that is so many layers deep. And that's where this book I'm currently reading, The Yoga of Vasishtha, who was literally the teacher of Rama, one of the great incarnations of Vishnu. Sometimes Rama is just considered like God. That's how big of a deal Rama is. And so the teacher of Rama, Vasishtha, is talking in this book I'm reading about the nature of reality as being endless vibration, endless. Anytime any thought occurs, it generates like a whole universe. And so I wrote something about that idea in Facebook. And a lot of yoga students and teachers wrote, you know, they liked it or whatever. And that, you know, I mean, it's an intriguing concept that I had a picture of a blossom on a tree, and the quote was from this book, and it said that the trees drop their leaves in the autumn, and then leaves emerge in the spring. All of those states are within the tree. They're all embedded within the tree. And it's exactly the same way with the universe. The universe is there always as this whole tree, and things come and go from it without ever, you know, changing it. It's like the natural state of things is that these things emerge. And the metaphor that it's using is that we are what emerges, the whole of our sense of what the universe is that we're experiencing and potentially experiencing in so many different ways. So, you know, this gets pretty deep pretty fast, and that's why I don't recommend that anybody rush out and try to get a copy of this book. But what was intriguing to me with this post is that one of my dear friends wrote that was a really magnificent concept, but, you know, when thinking about the intelligence of the universe contains all of these things, did you not notice that there's a coronavirus epidemic? And that's such a natural thought, you know, like, wait, we're trying to deal with the crisis right now. Forget about, you know, ponderings about philosophical this and that. And I agree that you do have to take care of business. Like, you have to take care of what's important to do today. But I think there's never a time when you shouldn't be practicing either, you know, explicit practices or what comes from doing explicit practices, which is the whole thing of yoga off the mat. And Wendy and I were going to do a workshop on that today, in fact, but didn't work out with all of the changes to the digital realm. So we're gonna do that again. So keep an eye out for a rescheduled date for that. But, you know, everything that we do in terms of our practice that we think of as yoga or meditation or pranayama, all of those actions that we take, they're all also about providing for us the state of mind so that we can live our daily lives in a way that is more in alignment with what is true. And so when we're in the midst of a crisis, that's a part of our lives too. And we still need during that time to try to align ourselves with what is true. And doing that will more often than not help you to remain more in balance as you tackle the things that are challenging. And so it's the perfect time to ponder the fact that nature contains both coronaviruses and wonderfulness in the realm of experience, and it's all a part of a whole that comes and goes. And our place is unique in that we are conscious of what's going on and can do what we want with the awareness of that. We can, you know, some people are trying so hard to save the world, and of course they won't be able to. But some of those actions are really, really useful and should be taken. If they get to a place where they're feeling overwhelmed, that's a really good place to pause and take care of oneself. You know, other people are hunkering down and just getting quiet and finding a smaller circle of people to interact with. Others are getting online and trying to, you know, speak as though they have answers, you know, whether they're politicians or teachers, of even spiritual teachers. So all of these things are just people's attempts to work within the outside realm, the physical realm. And all of that is fine, but it can all benefit from a little bit of extra nuance that can be gained from going deep, feeling who am I at my essence, sort of basking in that as a part of the truth too, stepping outside of the realm of action and coronavirus and everything else that we're having to deal with because of that. And to, you know, sort of be in that aspect of what we are, which all these ancient texts called reality or the truth. And Tantra thinks of as a critical part of what we need to be engaging with in order to experience the rest really well. Like right now, I have to stop and go change my laundry. So hang on just one second. And just to change my laundry, I have to suit up in, you know, gloves and carry alcohol wipes and stay 6 feet away from anybody else I bump into in the thing, which could be incredibly depressing. It could be, you know, the end of the world kinds of thoughts. But by continuing to practice and continuing to remember, the nature of our experiential world is up and down. You know, everyone dies at a certain point. We don't want to accelerate that, but we also can't eliminate that, right? So we're doing what we can do. And something I've been pondering a lot lately is how, if this is the end, how would I like to spend my days, right? And that provides a little perspective too. You know, maybe being willing to, you know, give a little extra space to someone who's having a hard time, or being willing to do a little more for someone who's maybe not in the same position as me. So I hope that some of that is of at least interest. And I was speaking with a dear friend and a professional communicator recently, and telling her that I'm, you know, a little bit feeling quiet right now. And she recommended maybe just putting out little bits, a little more often. So I'm going to give that a shot. So this is today's little bit, and I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have questions, please feel free to write me, peterspodcast108@gmail.com. That's peterspodcast108@gmail.com. And I'll do my best to answer you and maybe even find it an interesting topic to talk about on the podcast. All right. So blessings to you all. A good mantra to use to keep your immune system functioning at its optimum is Om Ram 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 Ramaya Namaha. And you might notice the word Rama in there, which was Vashista's student and God him herself. So we're calling on the big guns here. Yeah? Om Ram 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 Ramaya Namaha. And there's a nice sort of battle cry that you can use to Ram as well. In the Ramayana, Rama is called upon to kill all the demons that are terrorizing the world. And Hanuman, who is one of his great generals, so to speak, is constantly calling out, Jai Shri Ram, which means victory to Ram. So if you want to add that at the end of that mantra, I've been doing that lately, and it's making me feel much more victorious. All right? So have a lovely day, lovely evening, lovely morning, wherever you find yourself right now, and we'll talk again soon. Namaste. That's today's episode. Thanks a lot for listening to Peter's podcast. I hope that you find real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living through your practice. Please support me on Patreon, rate the podcast, and I'll see you next week. Namaste.